Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians, please. I was surely blessed with the wonderful time we had together last night out here on the asphalt terrace. Everything that happened out there was... I felt sort of like a warm-up before the finals. Everybody was into it, and it was just a wonderful night of blessing. So I was real grateful and real thankful to be a part of that. The second chapter of Corinthians, like so much of the Word of God, has always just been a fantastic inspiration to me and has really blessed my heart and life so many, many times. The first verse reads, "And I, brethren," and the word "and" ties together the previous chapter with it. It's a conjunction, puts it together, talking about glorying in the Lord. "And I, brethren, when I came to you," to the Corinthians, "came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery." The word "testimony" is the word "mystery." The Greek word is "mysteron," which is transliterated into the English word "mystery." "Didn't come declaring unto you the mystery of God." Verse 2, the first word is the word "but." "I determined not to know anything among you save," or "except," E-X-C-E-P-T, "save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And the reason he could not go beyond Jesus Christ and the crucifixion with the vast majority of Corinthian believers, they were born again, but he couldn't go beyond Jesus Christ and Him crucified, is because they just were not open to move any further yet. And the reason this always inspires me and is invigorating to me, because it gives me comfort in my heart, because there are just millions and millions of people all over the world born again, but they've never gotten beyond Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's one of the reasons you have the cross on top of all the churches. You know, steeples. It's another reason people wear the cross around their necks. It's another reason why you have the cross inside of the church on either the altar or the communion table. And you see, the altar is a place of sacrifice. And therefore, the altar in the church having the cross on it always indicates Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's the furthest most Christians have ever gone. Born again, but they hardly ever get beyond the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in their action, in their believing. They're always negative, they're dead, they're lukewarm, never really fired up, because you've got to get beyond the crucifixion to have the greatness of the mystery living. But Paul came there, and all he could teach them, except Jesus Christ, I determined not to know anything among you. And that means knowing to the end of speaking. No use telling a first grader anything about, well, chemistry, because they're not ready to what? Likewise, spiritually, even if they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe they don't even know it, a lot of people, that they've ever accepted Him. Because if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and do what? Believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead, they're what? Saved. That's right. You see, I came through that type of experience. I don't remember the day I was born again. But I don't even remember the day I was born physically either, so don't get excited. How many of you remember that? Oh. Now, you'll be running into some people at some times who say, well, if you can't remember when you got born again, you're not born again. Well, you know, I didn't remember the first one, and I know I'm here. I pinched myself this morning. I know it. And I'm born again. I know that, too, but that I have the evidence on as well by speaking in tongues and so forth. So when you read the word, it's a comfort to me to know that there are just some people, they're never going to go beyond Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They're going to hang on there. But thank God if they're born again, you know, if they've accepted Him. Because if they confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and if they believed that God raised Him from the dead, they're what? That's right, born again. You know, it's just the way it is. So, I love this in here. So, verse 3 says, He was with them in weakness. That doesn't mean He was sick. He couldn't go any further. You know, Paul was chopping at the bits, you know. He wanted to really open the Word to him, but he couldn't go that far. Just imagine 7,000-8,000 people coming in here this week, all straining at the bit. That's a horse's term, but we're not going to be horsing around in the class. We're going to move the Word. They're in here hungering and thirsting. You know, Paul couldn't do that in Corinth because he had to hang in there. You can't feed people any more than they can eat, you know, than they'll eat. No use putting 7 pieces of steak in front of you because you can't eat that much at one time. Likewise with the Word. But I believe perhaps this is the first time in the history of Christendom that almost 8,000 people have come or are coming together for a 2-week period of doing nothing but biblical research, teaching, and fellowship. And not in the sense of just Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but way up there, as high as we can go, revealing the mystery and the greatness that's in the mystery that has been revealed and made known by His Word through Christ Jesus. It's just an unbelievable moment in the history of the world. And by God's grace and mercy, we're privileged to be a part of it. What an exciting moment. Look, my speech, verse 4, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, he wasn't a sharp cookie using man's wisdom to show people how intellectual he was. But it was in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and power. In demonstration of the Spirit of power would be a fantastic translation. And the demonstration of the Spirit is the operation of the manifestations like you heard here this morning. That's demonstrating the Spirit. He did this when He came there. He couldn't go very far because they were still believing in Jesus Christ and Him crucified only, right? But He demonstrated. He spoke in tongues and interpreted for them, had words of prophecy, endeavoring to bring them up and out, make them grow bigger. Understand? And that's the demonstration. For what reason? Verse 5, that you're believing. You're believing. The word faith is the word pistis in the text. Every time you read that word, faith, or in the Old Testament it's believing too, in the New it's used a few times, but the word faith has been misconstrued because they have not looked at it accurately. The book of Galatians says there could be no faith until after the day of Pentecost. So naturally, all the Old Testament, all the gospel places where they use faith has to be believing. And you can always tell whether it's spiritual faith or whether it's believing by context. Here in the context that you're believing should not stand in the wisdom of what? Your believing will always stand either in the wisdom of men or in the wisdom of God. There are only two categories. You're either going by what your senses have told you and some man has concocted, or you're going to go by the revelation of the Word of God. Only two ways. Your believing will either stand in the wisdom of men, or it will stand in the wisdom of God, which brings the power of God. Howbeit, verse 6, however, we did speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And the word perfect is the word the initiated ones. Those who had gone beyond Jesus Christ and Him crucified, or who were willing to go beyond. To those, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world. He didn't speak that kind of wisdom, because they all come to what? But we spoke, or we speak, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Regarding the mystery is the text. We speak the wisdom of God regarding the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained, predestinated before the world unto our, what? Glory. And then comes that great eighth verse, which none of the princes of what? Knew. None of them knew it. That means all the devil spirits, the adversary, all the devil spirits, nobody knew it. No spirit knew it. And the reason no spirit knew it is because God had never said it. Once anything was put in writing, or if God had put the mystery in the stars, then the adversary could have known the mystery. That's why the stars have everything written in them except the mystery. None of the princes of the world knew this which was ordained, predestinated by God for our glory. Our glory. And that's your glory and mine too this morning. For our glory. Well, people, we ought to get excited, enthused, really turned on, effervescing, bubbling. It's for our glory. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Boy, that's a dandy. Because devil spirits inspired the Romans and the Jews, Judeans, and they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Had they known it, had the devil spirits known it, they never would have crucified Him. Because the mystery is that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same body with Christ in them, the hope of glory. That's the mystery that God kept secret. Had the devil spirits known it, they never would have crucified the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus was not God. He was God's only begotten Son. He was physical. Lived here upon earth. And Jesus Christ, in His physical body, could only be one place at one time. How many places can you be at one time? That's right. Now, if you do a little of that astro stuff, you got to have more than one spirit in you or something. You see, when Jesus Christ was here, he could only be one place at one time. All of his teaching, all of the miracles he wrought, man, that was just one Jesus Christ. And so the devil spirits thought, boy, if we can him, get rid of him, we got it made. But God, before the foundation, had already established something which is for our glory. None of the princes knew, else they'd have never killed him. Why? Because from the day of Pentecost on, people can be born again. When you're born again, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So wherever you walk, Christ is there. Whenever you talk, Christ is there. Boy, look at the power. Look at the beauty, the magnificence of it, the glory of it. And most of the believers that we have ministered through to all these years, even most of them just never quite rise up to their believing privileges because the adversary keeps cutting you down. You know, throw a negative at you. Do all this stuff. Hey, it's Christ in you. Wherever you walk, it's Christ in you. That is why the adversary has done such a fantastic job in keeping the truth of the Word of God away from people for centuries. Because if you do not know the truth of the Word of God regarding the mystery, you can't practice it. And that's why they never go beyond Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Once you get up out of the grave, so to speak, with all the beauty of the glory, with Christ in you, wherever you walk, it's Christ in you. So when two people are born again, there's two Christ in you. Three people Christ in you. Had the adversary known it, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. He'd have let him live to a ripe old age of 50 million or whatever years he wanted to live. Never would have. Had he been older Methuselah, that's for sure. See? Huh? That's something. Hey, why not just stand on our believing privileges? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Every place a believer is, it's Christ. And the adversary has cut the Word to pieces, kept people away from the Word, so they didn't know. And living victoriously, I'd like to, with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, and everything I've got in me, just make the Word live for our people, to bring them up as high as it's possible to bring them to their ability of receiving in those 2 weeks. To show you that it is God's grace, His mercy, His peace, but that you have this in you. It's Christ in you, Christ in you. And we can walk and talk the walk and walk with the greatness of that power. Boy, oh boy, it's just fantastic. Look at it. As it is written, I hath not seen, ear hath heard, neither in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for thee. But, yet is the first word, yet God hath revealed. The word things in verse 9 is the mysteries. Enter the heart of man, the mysteries which God hath prepared for those who what? Well, do you love him? Okay, then it's prepared for you. Somebody prepares you dinner, you do what? Well, why ain't you that honest with God? Just eat it up. Just thank the Lord and believe it, walk on it. Yet God hath revealed them unto us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the mysteries, yet the deep things of God. Boy, that's wonderful. And verse 11 is a parenthesis, an explanation. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which in it. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of us. Then we go on to verse 12. Now we received. And the word received is the word lambanoed. Manifested, evidence. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of whom? So there are two types of spirit. We have not lambanoed the spirit of the world, but we have lambanoed the spirit of what? You saw it again this morning. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy. You'll see it all week and all the next 2 weeks. And praise God until Christ returns. See it in operation. That we might know. That we might know the things. Again, the things, the mysteries that are freely given to us of God. Freely given to us of God. Boy, I forget what that word freely is here. It's translated more accurately at another place in the New Testament. I can't recall exactly, but the essence is that are given to us when we were totally undeserving of it. Freely. Freely, not deserving of. That we might know the things that even though we were not deserving of it, He gave to us. God gave to us. Might know the things. It says know, K-N-O-W. That we might know. God wants us to know people. He wants us to know. And the only way you can ever know is you've got to come back to the Word. Got to read it. Got to work it. Got to study it. And that's the wonderful thing that we're going to be doing the next 2 weeks as we get together in the Living Victoriously class. So I'm real grateful and thankful for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for the day of Pentecost. And I've never seen a church steeple yet with a dove on it. Well, whether I ever see it doesn't make any difference as long as you have the presence of God in Christ in you. That's important. Another thing I'd like to say to you, it makes no difference what they hang around their neck, whether it's a cross or a dove, or whether you wear it on your finger, makes no difference. But what do you got in your heart? You got it on the inside, you got it, baby. And if you don't, you can wear everything on the outside. Don't put it on the inside, right? And we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So let's just stand together this week, believe together, pray together, love each other together in the love of Christ, and let's just move toward the opening of Living Victoriously this Saturday night. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the joy and rejoicing in all of our hearts and the great anticipation and expectation in our souls, Father, for the opening of the class this coming Saturday. But even beyond that, Father, we'd be truly grateful if you sent your Son back before that time. But Heavenly Father, we've done our utmost for your highest with the greatest of our ability that you put within us and the desires in our soul to bless your people. And should you tarry, Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we here at the Way International have pledged ourselves, committed ourselves, and totally dedicated ourselves to do our utmost for your highest, for your people. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to be with your people and for allowing your people to be here this day through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless. I love you.